Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Brother Randy. Those of you that went on the trip, Brother Randy borrowed a coat from Curly. last year. No. You kind of look like him too. Anyway. gotta love it. Now, everybody look at me before we read today. I am going to need your minds today. I'm going to preach a doctrinal sermon. And most people say, doctrine's doesn't have to be boring. If you get it from a theologian, probably is. But I'm not a theologian. I'm just an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. And I think I can teach you some things. We're going to use our Bibles today. And I'm going to help you with your salvation. I'm going to help you with bad doctrine that's been taught in our country for a very, very, very long time. We're going to take what God says. I'm just going to look at it, and I want to help you. Many of you have come out of denominations that teach bad doctrine. Many of you have been, many people accept bad doctrine as truth. And I'm going to set it straight with God's word, and I'll use God's word to prove it to you today. And I want to help you. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Let's read this passage responsively. Then keep your Bibles open, and we're going to use them today. You ready? Here we go. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. Lord, too many preachers and too many supposed preachers for years have preached the Bible the wrong way. They preach it with man's interpretation and man's spin on it. Give me clarity of mind today. Give me the presence of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the Word of God to let it do the speaking today. Please help us. And Lord, if there's one here today that's not sure of heaven, I pray that it would be very natural for them to know for sure by getting saved today. Help us to look at this appropriately in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't read the Bible often as God wrote it. We read it, now listen to this, we read it having been taught things and we just accept it as truth. Some of you were brought up in Catholic churches or mainline denomination type churches who have never taught or have not taught right doctrine in 75 to 100 years. And then we allow that teaching to creep into our churches and it breaks down real doctrine. We teach it with a slant that is not right. I'm not one of those preachers. Thank God that I was born a Baptist. I'm 51 years old, and I've been going to church for over 52 years. You say, that's not possible. I went to church for 9 months before I was born. I'm a church rat, not a church mouse. Amen? I'm there every time the door squeaks, and usually the one squeaking the door. I grew up in church. I understand church. I started preaching at the age of 13. I went to Christian high school. I graduated, went to Bible college, been preaching. I've been preaching for over 38 years. I've been in the ministry for 30 years. Can I tell you something? I love church. I love the Bible. And I love teaching and preaching the Word of God, but I refuse to let society, culture, and bad doctrine dictate what I preach. I'll let this book dictate what I preach. And I won't give a slant to it in any way. Religion means nothing to me. The Word of God means everything to me. So I want to show you what God says about a fascinating doctrine that we get wrong. Most of you have heard this statement. The Old Testament's law, the New Testament's grace. How many of you have heard that or even said that? A lot of people think, well, the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace. That is a lie out of hell. Just so you know. Well, preacher, we read twice in Romans chapter 6. You're not under law, but under grace. Yes, we did. But that law is not Old Testament law. And I'll show you what I mean. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I can quote them, but Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I want you to know something. The Bible says this, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of," what's the next word? "Works, lest any man should boast." Now, according to the Bible then, how does someone get saved? They get saved by what? Grace through faith, correct? Key words, grace through faith. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's all the way towards the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 4. By faith, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's salvation. By what?
Faith.
Doesn't say by the law, does it? Look at verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. Huh. Look at verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look at verse number 7. By what?
Faith.
Noah, being warned of God. Look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham. Everybody look at me. Do you know that every one of those people encompass over 2,000 years of history, and that was before there ever was a Mosaic law? So how could the Old Testament be law? Everybody doing okay? I'm watching wheels turn. I'm smelling smoke. All right? You look at verse 9. By faith, sojourned in a strange land. Talks about Isaac and Jacob. And verse number, you get all the way down to Moses, down in verse 23. By faith, Moses. In other words, Moses was saved by faith, not by the law. Now, I wanted you to see those verses because God says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Now, let's see here. Stephen, come on up here for a second. I'm gonna have you stay there. This pulpit's gonna represent Jesus. I'm gonna represent people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, people looked ahead to what Jesus would do at Calvary. Everybody understand that? So by faith, they believed that Jesus would come, be born of a virgin, he would live a sinless life, that he would die at Calvary, shed his blood, and that he would resurrect and put his blood on the mercy seat for our salvation. So in the Old Testament, by faith, they looked ahead at what Jesus would do. Stephen represents New Testament. Turn this way and look at me. Look at me, not them. I'm better looking than they are. In the New Testament, we get saved by looking back at what Jesus did do by faith. Everybody understand that? But guess what? Adam, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all of them got saved looking ahead by
faith,
not by law. Have a seat there, Stephen. Thank you. You did a good job. Even got the speaking part right. Now, let me say something about the law. Did you know that there are more than one law in the Old Testament? When I say the word law, most everybody in here thinks of what? The Ten Commandments. Did you know the Ten Commandments were civil law? They were government. They had nothing to do with salvation. They were how the Jews were to form a government. We have the Constitution. And the Ten Commandments were the equal to the Constitution for the Jews in the wilderness and to take with them into the Promised Land. There were 3.5 to 5 million Jews in the wilderness. You don't wander around with that many people without having some kind of law. You got to have some type of law. And God set up their law based on Ten Commandments. That was civil law. It had nothing to do with going to heaven.
Right.
Then you have another part of the law called the Levitical law. That was the law based on what the Levites, the priestly tribes, were to do with the tabernacle and temple. All of those laws were the representation for what Jesus would come and do. That's where you have your sacrifices. That's where you have all the robes and the phylacteries and the tabernacle. And you had the table of showbread. You had the candlestick. You had the altar of incense. You had the Ark of the Covenant. You had the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the outer courtyard. You had all of the Levitical laws and how to take care of the sacrifices and what sacrifices were for what holy day, because those were picturing what Jesus would do. Everybody look at me. Nobody was ever saved by a sacrifice. In the New Testament, Jesus started the New Testament church. Notice where he went to start it. He went to the temple and got people saved and pulled them out of the temple. That's why the people in the temple were mad at Jesus and had him crucified. And he said, we no longer need the temple. He said, we'll destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Ooh, that's blasphemy. No, it wasn't blasphemy, because it went from the temple being the representation to the body of the believer being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Levitical laws were passed away. That's why religion today still goes back to the Old Testament laws. That's why you have the Catholic Church still biting under the Levitical law. Matter of fact, Jesus and God knew that that would take place. And if you went to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, 7, and 8, you find out that Jesus was our high priest. Watch this, not Pope. And he was not of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah. That way, and he said, anybody who follows this Levitical law, Jesus already fulfilled it. That's why the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. God made it available so that every man had access to God, because Jesus fulfilled every one of those things. So the Levitical law is dead. It's no longer in use. Everybody understand that? Then you had something also in the law called the moral law. Those are the laws for sanitation. Those are the laws for sexual morality. Those are the laws for dress. Those are the law for farming and business and things that it would take for a group of people to be successful. And that is exactly what the moral law is about. Everybody look at me. None of those laws had anything to do with going to heaven. Not a one of them. But the Bible says you're not under law, you're under grace. Let me also say there was 3,000 years from Adam to Moses. How did people in those 3,000 years know for sure they were going to heaven? It can't be the Ten Commandments. First of all, had nothing to do with going to heaven. That was civil law. Just as we have many types of laws today. We have laws for driving that some people keep and people don't. We have laws for taxes that some people keep and some people like Hillary don't. We have laws for hunting. There are hunting laws. Amen, Brother Larry? And there are times you're allowed to hunt certain things and times you're not supposed to hunt certain things or with certain weapons. Say why? Because that's how we've kept things in check. There are laws. You break the law, there's punishment that goes with breaking a law. But guess what? Keeping that law, listen to me, just keeping the law doesn't do anything except make you a good citizen. Just because you keep the law doesn't mean that you become president of the United States. Matter of fact, we have had some that didn't. Bill. Now, wait a minute. What laws do we keep now for salvation? Is it the state law? Does federal law keep us moral? No, we can kill babies now and it's okay. Do local laws legislate then religiosity? Obviously not. Just as there are many different kinds of laws in the Bible, there are many kinds of law today. But we read in Romans 6:14 and 6:13, you're not under law, but under grace. Now, I want to show you what that law is. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the Levitical law. It's not the moral law. It's not the Abrahamic covenant. I could go through a bunch of other things. It's not. Has nothing to do with Old Testament or New Testament. Everybody doing okay? Y'all are looking at me like, okay, where are we at, preacher? I don't know if it's the time change or it's just so shocking to you right now. Now, listen to me very carefully. What does not being under law but under grace mean? Number one, no law ever saved anyone in Scripture. No law saved anyone in Scripture. We're going to use our Bibles. Are you ready? Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 20. And I'm going to read a lot of verses in the next probably 10 minutes. You follow along very quickly. I'm going to read like a Baptist preacher should read. All right? Romans chapter 3, look at verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds or the doing of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. The word justified means saved in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or saved freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth is Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Folks, you don't get saved by any law. Right. Because doing law, according to the Bible, is works. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Romans chapter 5, just a page or so over, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Watch this. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, we are saved by grace, not by law. It has nothing to do with the law. It has everything to do by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians, Romans, Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, and then the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. We're going to be in three different passages in the book of Galatians, and then I'm going to preach for a minute, and then we'll hit another section here. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the what? Law. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the what? Faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Everybody look at me. God says here in Galatians 2:16, there is no flesh justified by the law. Never has been, never will be. Now, look at, hey man, how you doing? So, we are not saved by the works of the law. That law could be any law. The civil law, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, the Levitical law, none of those were given. The Abrahamic covenant, none of that was given as law for salvation. And God said nobody is justified by the works of the law. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Notice the gospel to Abraham. That was before Moses' law. That was before the New Testament. Talking about the gospel. In these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Watch this. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Folks, we are not saved by any law. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 22, same chapter, a little bit later. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. What law? Watch this. Shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. We are not saved, never have been saved, never will be saved by the keeping of the law.
Right.
People in the Old Testament were not saved by keeping any law. There was 3,000 plus years of history before there ever was what most people called the law. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only difference in Old Testament and New Testament is Old Testament looked ahead to what Jesus would do. New Testament, we look back at what he did do.
Right.
But both required faith. One required faith that it hadn't happened yet. The other requires faith that it did happen. The one that did not happen yet, God made it a little bit more visual by the shedding of blood with sacrifices because it hadn't happened yet. We know what happened, and the New Testament version of sacrifices is the Lord's Supper, communion. Broken body, shed blood. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. Nobody has ever been saved by works. This is, by the way, that is works salvation. If you get saved, by the way, if you're depending on keeping your salvation based on works, you did not get saved. If you believed you could get saved, but you would lose it if you didn't live a certain way, you didn't get saved because you based it on works. I'm not here to make anybody doubt their salvation. But if you believe that you could get saved and lose it if you didn't live right, some people call it repentance. Well, you just really didn't mean it enough. Gag. That's works. Everybody doing okay? So, nobody is saved or justified by faith. Number two. This is where it's going to get fun. So, if it's not the Ten Commandments, it's not the Levitical law, it's not the moral law, it's not any other law, then what law are we not under so that we're under grace? Glad you asked. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 1. This is number 2, the law that we are not under that puts us under grace. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, I need everybody to look with me and think with me and follow this carefully. Verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Watch this. Josh, do you know what law that we are all under? We're all under the law of sin and death. When you were born, you were born into sin. When you were conceived in sin. That means the moment life was given to you, you were destined to die. That is the law of sin and death. Everybody's going to die. It's proof that we are all sinners. Brother Joe, you're a sinner. Big one. Brother Randy, your wife's a sinner. Brother Shane, we know Dee's a sinner, all right? She married you. Brother Larry, we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we're all going to die. That means we are under the law of sin and death. But that law of sin and death isn't just a physical death. It is a spiritual death. That means someone who has not been saved, their spirit is under the law of sin and death. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's two deaths, one of the body and one of the spirit and soul. When we get saved, Brother Harry, guess what happens? The law of the Spirit takes us by grace out from under the law of sin and death to the law of righteousness and life by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not justified by your works. You're justified by grace through faith. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. He is the only one that could fulfill all of the law. What is all of the law? Sinlessness. That's why when you get saved, not only does God take away your sin, but He adds the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you. It's not just the removal of sin, it's the addition of righteousness. That's why you have Romans 10, verses 2 and 3. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You have people trying to do the works of the law for salvation, but you need the one who fulfilled all of the righteousness, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
And without that, we are destined to hell. Now, when we get saved, we are no longer under the law of sin and death. But by grace, we're under the law of life and righteousness.
Amen.
So, by grace, we get the righteousness of God in us at salvation. Folks, salvation is the key to get you out of the law. Not the Ten Commandments, not the Levitical law, not the moral laws, not the Abrahamic covenant, but it is that which is the law of sin and death. Hey, my body might die, but I am going to live forever. The moment I take my last breath here, I'll wake up in glory because I have received Christ as my Savior. Ooh, that was my knee that popped. Hang on. I'm wearing down, all right? But it is by grace through faith we get out from under that law of sin and death, and that we are brought to righteousness, and God adds the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. In other words, look at Romans chapter 4. This happened in the Old Testament too. And let me show you. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what?
Righteousness.
Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham did not get saved by keeping a law. He got saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And the grace of God then moved him from the law of sin and death to the law of righteousness and life. Therefore, Abraham was not under law, but under grace. Abel was not under law, he was under grace because he got saved. Adam was not under the law, he was under grace. Noah, by faith, came out from the law of sin and death to the law of the grace of God to live forever, and the eight souls that were spared. You go to Abraham here in Romans chapter 4. You can go through Hebrews chapter 11 and find all those in the Old Testament that God mentions. And it is the law of sin and death that we come out from under. It is not any other kind of law. So, God's grace gives us righteousness at salvation. The Bible uses the word, he imputes the righteousness of Christ. Brother Wiley, when you got saved, let me say it this way, if you get saved. But the day you got saved, not only did God forgive you and take those sins away, he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and put it on your account in heaven.
Amen.
Say why? Because it takes righteousness to enter heaven, not just the lack of unrighteousness. And you needed righteousness, not just sinlessness. And God said, I gave you Jesus Christ to live righteousness for you. He fulfilled all of the law, and I'll add it to your account.
Amen.
You got a whole lot more at salvation than you know you got.
Amen.
He didn't just forgive you your sins. He didn't just take you out from going to hell, but he also added the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. And that righteousness is what gives you access to heaven. When God sees Wiley's account in heaven, it's not just paid in full, it's paid ahead, and it has the name Jesus Christ and his righteousness added to the top of the list, and there is no sin there. It's not just a blank account, it's full of righteousness. It doesn't have an account of balance of zero. It's on the plus side. So, we are not saved by works. The law that we were under before salvation is the law of sin and death. When you get saved by grace through faith, you're no longer under the law of sin and death, but you're under grace. Make sense to everybody? Nod your head, rattle your head, do something. All right, there we go. Number three. Because we're not saved by the law, we are not kept by the law either. Because the law does not save you, you cannot keep your salvation by the law. Everybody understand that? Now, listen to me. Everybody look at me. Christians have become Pharisees. This is why you have no right to judge whether somebody is saved or not. Period. End of discussion. Well, I've heard preachers say, well, you have to turn from your sin to get saved. That's works. How many of you, since you saved, have sinned? Raise your hand. That's everybody in here, just so you know. Thank you. Matter of fact, Adriana raised both of them. All right? Because she's sinned a lot. All right? Put your hands down. The war's over, man. Now, wait a minute. Just because you get saved, it doesn't mean you stop sinning. You still have an old nature. But when you get saved, your account in heaven is settled forever. You add a new nature to it, but you don't remove the old nature. And you don't remove the fact that you're still a sinner. You can't turn from your sin. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me. Look at how many of the big, great Bible Christians sinned badly after they were saved. How about Noah? God used him to spare the population of the world. Shortly afterwards, he got drunk and then had a sodomite action with his son. How about Abraham? Abraham had an adulterous relationship with a handmaid, And we have the problem with the Muslims and the Jews to this day because of it, because he's not only the father of the Jews, but he also was the father of the Muslim race. Say why? Because he disobeyed God and he sinned by committing adultery. How about Jacob? Jacob tricked his brother and his dad. He sinned. How about Moses? Moses lost his temper and killed a man. Then he lost his temper and smote the rock instead of speak to it. Moses had a bad temper. We talk about the meekness of Moses. Moses had a bad temper. Both times it got him in trouble. Everybody doing all right? Okay, this is one that's going to twist somebody's hair. How about Esther? Esther entered a worldly beauty contest and married an unsaved, wicked king. I'm for what Esther did, and God used Esther, but Esther should have never been put in that position. She should have never been showing her body off to a king for a beauty contest, and God knows she should have never married a lost man. Everybody doing all right? Okay. How about David? David committed adultery and murder. How about Samson? Spent his time with harlots and was going to marry a harlot. Everybody doing all right? And broke his vow to God. How about the disciples? They were willing to believe in ghosts over Jesus. When things got tough, every one of them quit the ministry. One of them was even cussing. How about the Apostle Paul? After he got saved, not before. After he got saved, he took a foolish Hebrew vow. And it cost him. Now, everybody look at me. Most of you, let me rephrase that. Some of you would have judged every one of these people wondering if they were even saved. It's not yours to judge. Everybody's a sinner. They were under grace, not under law. Everybody doing okay? You don't get saved by keeping the law, therefore you don't keep your salvation by keeping the law. I was born to my mom and dad. There were times I obeyed. There's times I disobeyed. I didn't stay their son just because I obeyed. Even when I disobeyed, which was often, even when I disobeyed, guess what? I was still their child. Now, the goal was that I disobey less. None of your business whether I accomplished it or not. When you get saved, you become a child of God. Guess what? You can't be unborn. Amen. Now, you can be an obedient child or a disobedient child. And let me tell you, obedient children have more benefits than disobedient children. One last thing and I'm done. Neither can you judge somebody's salvation by how they live or by works. Statements like, I see no evidence they were saved by how they lived. Pharisee, who made you God? Statements like, they claim to be saved, but you sure can't tell. Oh man, I get so tired of hearing statements like that. Makes me want to vomit. Sorry, I'm in West Virginia, not Kentucky. Makes me want to barf. Say, what is that? That's you trying to play God to see if you can. I get tired of statements. Well, by their fruit you shall know them. And I can't judge their salvation, but I can be a fruit inspector. Show me in the Bible where that's true. You just want to play God. Everybody doing okay?
Not
easy. No. she woke up. I scared her. Two last verses. They're together. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. And I'll quit. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just because you're saved does not give you a license to go out and live however you want to live. You won't lose your salvation, but you're losing rewards. You're losing blessings. You're losing a lot of what the next world has to offer. Yeah, you can go out and live like the world. As you're on your way to heaven, you can live like you're on your way to hell. But when you get to heaven, you're going to be way behind. Folks, salvation is more than just fire insurance against hell and homeowners insurance in heaven. But may I say this? Even if you do go out and live a fleshly, carnal, wicked, evil life after salvation, you're still going to heaven. Yes. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. You're not God, and I'm glad. And you better be glad I'm not God.
Amen.
Careful now. Josh, can you take that knife out of my back? You just don't twist it. All right? It's already been twisted enough today. Now, may I say something? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. This thing of Old Testament law, New Testament grace, it's bad doctrine. It's wrong. It is the influence of the Catholic Church and the Calvinist movement. Everybody doing okay? Say, what's that mean then? That means this. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. It's not getting baptized. I think you ought to be baptized after you get saved. It's an act of obedience. It makes you an obedient Christian, but it doesn't make you a Christian. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. Thief on the cross never got baptized. Didn't happen. And by the way, you don't get baptized by being sprinkled or poured on. Okay? The word baptism means to be buried. It means go under the water and come back up. Jesus didn't go down into the Jordan River for him to sprinkle him or pour water on his head. He didn't have to go into the water to do that. Everybody doing okay? I think you should after you get saved because it's an act of obedience. But knowing for sure that you trusted Jesus Christ takes you out from under the law of sin and death. The grace of God brings you over to salvation and righteousness and life. So what is law? What is grace? For you're not under the law, but under grace. Say, when does that take place? The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You go from being under the law to being under the grace of God into life and righteousness because the righteousness of Christ is added to your account. The sin is washed away, past, present, and future. Can I tell you something? That ought to make you want to live right. Rules. No, it's not rules. You ought to be thankful that you're not on your way to hell. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. Hell is a real place. I want nobody to die and go to hell. Nobody. But may I say this? I'd like to take a bunch of obedient Christians with me, not just dragging you by the skin of your teeth.
Right.
So, let's not let religion tell us what law and grace is. Let's let the Word of God tell us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't move. I'd like you to just be still for a moment. I'd like you to answer a question honestly. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure, I am 100% sure if I took my last breath, my heart beat one last time, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I won't embarrass you, just like I did not embarrass these. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that for sure someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today, and it helped me. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Many, many, many hands. In a moment, you can put them down. In a moment, piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, that was for me, but you come to an old-fashioned altar like this and bend your knee, get it right with the Lord. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today.